leads into the next argument, the Foreign Agent Registration Act. That is, well, where's the money coming from? And I think that this one, and God, you know a lot about this subject, I think this is one of the most, the strongest arguments against the 9/11 mosque going up.
Now, you're talking about where the money's coming from as far as the foreign agent, or...
Yeah, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, that if you have a project that's a 501c3, if foreign money is coming in, then all that money
has to be... It totally goes against federal law in order to take international funds if it's an American 501c3. And if it's classified as any kind of religious center, it falls under the nonprofit 501c3 status. Therefore, they better have every single penny accounted for of that $100 million coming from within the United States and not through other hands like Saudi Arabia.
Exactly.
And that's what I've been complaining about. I wrote about that in my very first article about this months ago. Where's the money coming from? We already know that 75 to 80% of the mosques in this country are funded by Saudi Arabia. There's no way they're going to raise $100 million from, quote-unquote, and I quote Imam Faisal Rauf, from Muslims in the neighborhood. Give me a break. What do they got, never-ending pockets?
Well, this takes all the emotion out of the argument because Imam Faisal Rauf is now out of the country, unavailable. He has not produced any of the documents where this foreign money is coming from. And on that alone, this project should be put on hold until those questions are answered.
Yeah, but you know how hard it is because of the Constitution and because of nonprofit statuses to look into the books of any religious organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
And that's going to be their next argument. I guarantee it.
Well, you have the Council on American Islamic Relations who lost their 501c3 status because they were taking money from foreign entities, namely Saudi Arabia. And then you have Faisal Abdul Rauf's wife, Debbie Almontazer, a.k.a. Daba Almontazer, a.k.a. Daba Almontazer. She's of Yemeni descent. She's very involved in this. So Faisal Rauf is gone. He's fled the country. I'm sure he's out there raising money. He doesn't want to be in the center of this because he'll have diarrhea of the mouth. So his wife is here, who's supposedly very well respected because she co-designed a curriculum for Muslim Communities Project at Columbia University, you know, that diverse university in New York. She does some Islam Access Project on Channel 13 WNET in New York. So she's very involved in this whole thing. So let's not kid ourselves. This whole thing goes a lot deeper, and you want to follow the money, just follow it back to Saudi Arabia, follow it back in through the Muslim Brotherhood, through the Islamic Society of North America, to the NAIT, the North American Islamic Trust that's housed in Indiana.
It's very true. All that you guys are saying.
Dr. John Press, he sums this up very well, and I'm going to quote. Quote, he refuses, Imam Faisal Rauf, he refuses to say where the $100 million for the mosque's construction is coming from. We can only speculate that it must derive from Malaysia or Saudi Arabia. Were a brave politician to demand it, we could force him to register Imam Rauf as a foreign agent under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. This would mean that his books would be open, and he would have to label his mosque as propaganda. Strengthened Farah could then be used to forbid the mosque and the Saudis' relentless building of mosques across America. That's pretty powerful.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, do we have a politician that would be willing to do that?
Peter King?
Newt Gingrich? Unfortunately, he's not in office.
Yep. Sue Myrick.
Rick Lazio, Sue Myrick. This is in Peter King's backyard.
If anybody's going to ban the mosque, it would have to come, or not, I shouldn't say ban the mosque. If anybody wants to put an inquiry into anything of this mosque, whether it leads to banning or not, the person has to be free from any kind of involvement with foreign money. And, you know, our politics today, as we've said, it's almost impossible because there is so much money that Saudi Arabia has put into our political system and through many forms, not just through politicians, but through lobbying, through different corporate sponsors, through different other means. I don't know the full extent, but from what I have seen, it is very, very deep. I think Mustang used the term spider's web before. There is a literal spider's web that penetrates so many facets. It would be very difficult for somebody to do it. Somebody would have to be very brave and would have to be willing to potentially risk his political career, which is another issue because when it comes to someone keeping their career versus taking a stand on something, what's more valuable? What's more valuable to them, doing what's right or looking out for their own personal interests? And that's the problem of the ages.
Mayo Bloomberg has proved what's more tolerant. He's proving that $100 million means more to him than really what's really, really right for New York, for the New Yorkers, and for Manhattan. He's proved that the almighty dollar, wherever it's coming from, it could come from Karl Marx, it could come from Chavez. In this case, it's coming from Islam. $100 million means more to Michael Bloomberg than what's really right and what's right for New Yorkers and what's right for Ground Zero.
If you don't mind me, I can't stand much longer, but I'd like to end on this. And this goes to something that happened in the late Middle Ages. About the same time that the Protestant Reformation was happening, Ottoman and Turkey was well aware of it. They were in the process of expanding their empire into Eastern Europe. One of the things that many people do not know about historically is that Ottoman Turkey funded directly many of the princes who were in Germany who were involved in the Protestant Reformation. And they also were involved in funding France, who France had a policy of promoting Catholicism within its borders, but being anti-Catholic outside its borders to other countries. And I say this because the perspective that many of these rulers took the money. And there were few who actually opposed it. Poland opposed it. Italy opposed it. The countries of Southeastern Europe opposed it. And the reason I'm saying this is that I'm not trying to get in a Catholic versus Protestant stint here. But the idea is that these people who took the money, they were looking at it to forward their own causes and their own ideas. However, the intention with which the Ottomans gave the money was to divide the peoples against each other so that they could move in. It's the same idea that's happening here. Lots of foreign money has been poured into our system, and many people are taking it because they see personal gain for themselves, their families, their connections. But this is a short term because their lives, these people will live, an average person lives, 70 to 100 years? The idea that the Ottomans took was that these people can profit now, but as the Islamic saying goes, why sell the good of this life why sell the glory of the hereafter for this life? In other words, give these people a little bit of something now and take possession in the future. Same thing then as is now. What Saudi Arabia and other countries are doing is they're giving our leaders and our businesses a little bit of candy now to make them happy. In the meantime, they're setting up an entire structure so that in the future, over time, they will be able to move in and fully possess. This